Thanks for listening to Countdown to Kickoff. Now, 97.9 FM, WCHL Championship Sports present The Good Sports with Art C. and Bob Lee.
Larry Fedora and Bubba Cunningham are here, and they have taken football in another direction.
I'm an old-school traditionalist. I want to go back to 8 members, including South Carolina.
Join us for the next hour of our pregame coverage as Art Chansky and internet legend Bob Lee discuss Carolina football and all the hot topics concerning college football here in town, across the ACC, and across the country.
Again, underneath to Morris. Morris at the 40, 35, 30. Romar's going to go. Go, Romar, go. Touchdown, Carolina.
I look more at how we do against institutions that I consider our comparables, and certainly Virginia would be in that.
Larry Fedora is Bill Belichickian in his approach to injuries.
A win today, particularly after last week, will help quite a bit, if only for the short term, before we have to face some other realities.
A win here, he becomes a hero to Tar Heel Nation.
Now, page 2 of 97.9 FM's exclusive Carolina football pregame coverage. The Good Sports with Art C. and Bob Lee. Bob Lee.
Well, Bob Lee, this is Art Chansky with you, and Carolina can't seem to catch a break off the field. We'll see if they can tough that out tonight against the Liberty Flames in the opener of 2014. What do you think?
This is Bob Lee. We're in blue heaven. We're playing a famous Christian university. We're standing underneath a church steeple. All I can say is, holy cow.
That's all you better say on a family radio station. That's all I can tell you.
Next from WCHL Championship Sports is time for the Good Sports, Art C.
That's me.
And Bob Lee.
That's me.
And I'm Rod Stutz. Today's Good Sports with Bob Lee and Art C. is coming to you live from the lawn of University United Methodist Church in downtown Chapel Hill as we continue to the Tar Heel game with Liberty in Keenan Stadium starting at 6 o'clock. Good afternoon, Good Sports.
Good afternoon.
What do you think?
Hey, Bob Lee, I got to tell you, I got to break this in with a news break. This is good news and bad news, okay? The bad news is that NC State beat Georgia Southern with a minute and 39 seconds to go in the first football bowl division game that Georgia Southern has ever played. That's the bad news. The good news is that NC State beat Georgia Southern with a minute and 39 to play in the first bowl championship series game that Georgia Southern has ever played. How about Dave Doran?
I think there were 10,000 Wolfpackers left in the Carter at the end of the half, so they don't know about that yet. You just told them.
Woo! How about that juggernaut that Doran is building over there in Raleigh?
I'm surprised they came back and won.
It's too bad Steve Spurrier didn't play Georgia Southern Thursday night.
Okay, let's go on to our game here. Hey, Bob Lee, the game week is unraveled from a mild controversy over who would start a quarterback, Mitch Trubisky or Marquise Williams, to a potential major mess over the alleged assault of Jackson Boyer. And his brother Cole is getting 15 minutes of fame with his wild Twitter on Thursday. We'll have a social media expert and Carolina insider, Ryan Watson, with us to kind of dissect what's going on in the Twitter world, because I frankly have no idea.
I think this whole thing is a publicity stunt by the Aloft Hotel. Where the heck is the Aloft Hotel anyway? Is that really a place?
I heard your plug in the first hour saying you don't know where the Aloft Hotel is. You're from Raleigh, right? You ever ride in on 54 when you come in?
The Aloft Hotel.
Is it East 54?
Who named something the Aloft Hotel?
Look, if you almost run into the Aloft Hotel when you're driving in on 54 from Raleigh. So, you know, keep your eyes.
Is that the Roger Perry 10,000 development?
Exactly. It's the right after.
The Glen Leonard, what used to be quaint little Glen Leonard?
Right across Express Street.
Yeah. Right across.
All right.
Okay, so we'll talk about this hour long, but the nightmare continues over Carolina Athletics with this latest case of hazing, a prank that went bad, or some people calling it a potential disaster for UNC. So what's your take on it?
Well, you know, I don't know what happened. I found out about it.
You went there?
I was not there.
Okay.
I was not one of the 47 people in the room, but apparently, according to whoever you believe. I didn't know about it until Tuesday afternoon. Someone sent me the Yahoo leak. Later that night, I saw the crawl on ESPN saying UNC investigation in hazing. The entire nation goes in fuego. I get a call from one of my insider buddies giving me a scenario that is plausible, but also implausible. You know about the internet, we're going to discuss social media. The internet is the ultimate buffet of truth. Whatever you want, you can find it on the internet, and three other people will agree with whatever you say. And certainly this situation is rampant with internet speculation. The Wolfpackers are claiming that it's a terrorist attack. by the UNC cheat Islamic division. So then it got silly after that.
That's not silly. Well, here's it. Now, this could be the last thing I ever say on the radio, but the problem is...
How often have we heard that, Dutch?
Jackson Boy is from Chapel Hill, and he played at East Chapel Hill High School. Yeah. So no matter what he really is, he's perceived as a white kid from an elite high school in the rich side of town. That's a fact, right? That would happen.
Is there a poor side of Chapel Hill?
No. Yeah, there is, but a less rich. But
Where you live, right?
If not handled properly in the right way, you could see how this could sort of, you know, turn into a racially tinged time bomb.
I think this is every major college coach in America's worst nightmare on a ledge here. This could be Ferguson South.
Well,
come on.
That got you, didn't it?
Now, that's the last thing he'll ever say in the radio.
Come on.
Well, here's the biggest problem. If it blows up anymore, UNC has no choice. Really, if it blows up anymore, UNC has no choice but to take Jackson Boyer off the team for his own safety.
Okay.
No, because if his brother Cole is not telling the truth and he's exaggerated this thing, then some people on the players on the team are going to be really pissed off. And so Jackson Boyer could be in harm's way. So Carolina has got to, if they're doing the right thing and the kid's in harm's way, they've got to take him off the team. Or they got to put him on the sideline during practice and never let him get on the field, never let him get in harm's way. But if you do that, then you get, it looks like, and his parents apparently won't talk. He won't talk. Now, he's supposed to be meeting with Winston Crisp on Monday, who's the dean of students. And
I love Joel Curran. Let's get Joel Curran.
Well, I know.
$300,000 vice chancellor of spin.
I thought he made more than that. Anyway,
No, that's Ken Weinstein that makes more than that.
What I'm worried about is Larry Fedora's fed-up limit. That's what I'm worried about. Because that guy is sensational.
Yes, he is.
Really lucky to have him here. He's doing all the right things. Mm-hmm. And then he just keeps getting thrown these curveballs, I'm worried.
I don't know how else it could be handled. There's a lot of talk that why did they sit on it for 3 weeks, and that's a legitimate complaint. In today's society with the internet and everything, Instagram, nothing is going to be hidden. You cannot hide anything, even stuff that you wish you could.
We wish we could hide you sometimes, Bob Lee, but we're going to take a break here in just a moment here. Ryan Watts is coming up in just a little while here.
Our social media guru and Carolina Insider is going to unravel this Twitter mess.
Yeah, it's, anything that happens these days, it's on social media, whether it's the facts or if it's fabrication, whatever it is. This is the Good Sports with Art C and Bob Lee. I'm Rod Stutz, and we'll be back from downtown Chapel Hill on East Franklin Street, right in front of University United Methodist Church. Come by and see us as you get ready for the Tar Heels and the Liberty Flames.
AT&T asks, are you that guy? That guy who not only paints his face to cheer on his team, but then paints his entire torso? Well, you don't have to be that guy to prove your fanhood. Switch to AT&T and follow your favorite team like never before. It's much better than perusing the hardware store for this season's color palette of belly paints. You have the speed to get scores, stats, and highlights fast with AT&T. Rethink possible.
Visit att.com or store for details.
Attention Carolina fans, Fitch Lumber and Hardware is a whole lot more than just wood and nuts and bolts. Whether you're building your dream home, adding on, or just maintaining what you've got, we can help lead you in the right direction. Doors, windows, siding, roofing, paint, you name it, we can help you with it. And don't forget about our key and lock services and our custom millwork shop. So stop by Fitch Lumber and Hardware in downtown Carrboro or check us out online at fitchlumber.com. Go Tar Heels!
Do you get a bad feeling every time you spend money on your lawn without getting the results you were promised? Get the good feelings you deserve.
'Cause I get a good feeling.
And let the pros at Landscape Logic give you the direction and care you need to have a happy and healthy lawn.
Hello, my name is Brian Pop, owner of Landscape Logic and second generation landscaper. Fall is the best time to aerate, seed, and top dress fescue lawns. Top dressing your lawn with organic material relieves compaction in clay-based soils, creating an avenue for watering nutrients to reach the root zone of your lawn before it runs off or evaporates. Our process guarantees your yard will stay greener longer and requires less watering. And our aftercare program protects your aesthetic and economic investment throughout the entire year. You can find us on the web at LandscapeLogicNC.com.
Landscape Logic, recently voted the best landscaping company in Chapel Hill by over 2,000 residents, making Landscape Logic the logical choice for all your landscape needs. Okay.
See, and Bob Lee, I'm Rod Stutz from right in front of the University United Methodist Church in Chapel Hill, downtown, getting ready for Carolina and Liberty. Once again, here is our Chansky.
Ron, standing where we're standing, and standing next to you, I feel especially spiritual today.
Is that right?
Yeah. What is going to happen to me? Lightning bolt?
I don't think it has anything to do with me.
Well, we're here with Bob Lee on the Good Sports. Opening day, opening night, Kenan Stadium, Chapel Hill, the Liberty Flames, powerful opponent, right? Keep it under 50 differential. But NC State, you know, anyway, back to the other point. We're with Ryan Watts, who's been with us in past years as sort of our roving reporter and Carolina insider. And I've asked Ryan to come and join us because not only is he a roving reporter and inside Carolina, he is a social media guru. I've known him pretty much all his life, and a guy never does not have a device in his hand. And so he has businesses that are internet-based and Twitter-based and all that kind of stuff. So, and he's a great Carolina fan. And Ryan, I just want to bring you in. Thanks for coming.
Oh, well, I appreciate it.
Okay, and I want, you know, this Twitter stuff is, you know, for guys of my generation, people of my generation, it's a little hard to figure out the legitimacy, all the different kind of stuff that's going on because, you know, it's not really that much different than message boards, yet people, mainstream media is using it with Twitter posts and newspapers and the online newspaper columns. What's your take? When you heard the first deal about this Jackson Boyer, Cole Boyer thing, what was your take?
Well, I can say real quick that Bob Lee, I'm sure, will have his commentary on the double-edged sword of the internet that we all seem to experience. And Carolina is a very interesting situation. I mean, we are under the microscope. Every little action is completely analyzed, overanalyzed, really. And so This tweet from Cole Boyer, who, for those of you who don't know, Cole Boyer is 23 years old, the older brother of Jackson Boyer. He tweeted, four players, quotes, isn't even 25% of the group that assaulted my brother, leaving him unconscious and badly concussed. And in that same post, he actually mentioned Coach Fedora as well as Chancellor Carol Folt. So he was definitely of the mind of getting this story out there, getting the what he at least thinks is the real story out there. And I've got to say, from what I've been able to gather, and I'm sure that there are a million different accounts of this, from what I've been able to gather, it really seems like Jackson's and Cole's account of the story is not really jiving with the other stories that are out there. And I'm sure there's a bunch of different reasons for that, but it seems to me that Coach Fedora, 3 weeks ago when this whole incident went down, he reported it up the chain. And like Fedora, as you've said, with his injury reports, right, he likes to keep things undercover, he likes to keep things quiet, and that makes a lot of sense, especially given all the attention Carolina has in the public eye. And when that went up the chain, at some point in that span of time, there was a leak. This information got up there, and now we're seeing all these tweets from Cole Boyer. And I think Fedora's done the right thing. I think he's suspended these guys for what is essentially, hopefully, a meaningless game that hopefully ends up in a Tar Heel victory. And he's handling as best he can. I am with you. I worry about Coach Fedora getting upset, for lack of a better way of putting it, with all of this stuff.
Scandal fatigue.
Scandal fatigue is a great way of putting it.
Well, you know, Ryan, you said mentioned it to Fedora, and let's clarify that. My reports tell me that Fedora knew about this the day after it happened, and he went right to Bubba Cunningham, and Bubba took it right to the administration, and the investigation ensued from there. Now, the modus operandi now at Carolina is coaches report these things, and they keep the coaches out of the investigation. You go back and you do your job, you coach the football team, we'll handle this. And this ongoing investigation was going on, and then somehow it got to Pat Forte at Yahoo Sports. And the only really reason it ended up with a big headline in Yahoo Sports and the crawl across ESPN in the bottom is because of the credibility that Pat Forte, a longtime college football writer, very well known around the country, did the story for Yahoo Sports. And that's the only thing that gave it the kind of credibility it got. So your reports jive with mine, that Fedora knew about it all the time. I think what's difficult, the hard part about it was that the suspensions came out right away after the story was released. So it looked like to some people that Carolina was trying to cover it up, and now that it's out, we got to do something about it. And the truth is that, I don't know the truth, but the report was that Fedora said that the investigation was going along. He wanted some information to find out if they had enough information, and they did suspend four players. Since then, he said it's only four, it's only one game. He doesn't expect any more suspensions, but now the whole thing is really, you know, gone wild with this Twitter stuff, and I don't know where they go from here, because Boyer's parents are talking, the kid hasn't talked, the only spokesman on the other side is Cole Boyer, and when you see the last tweet that he said, I'm getting off Twitter now, but all of the responses to that discredited Cole Boyer completely.
I completely agree with that. I think, you know, these are, I've been asked some questions y'all are more than welcome to ponder on and talk about as the show goes on today, but all reports indicate that this was a prank gone bad, right? And as we know from watching Hard Knocks on HBO or other information around the country, right, football is an aggressive, testosterone-driven type of sport. There are always altercations on teams. I mean, there are a million fights that happen in training camps every single year that we don't hear about, and yet we heard about this one. And the only reason I would propose, and you guys are more than welcome to talk about this, is the reason that this was a news story is because of the use of the word hazing. And if that word does not get used by Pat Ford in that article, this is a non-story and a non-issue. And I suggest that that word was used a little bit liberally, probably not very justified, and that's another example of the media taking something and running with it to an extent it probably doesn't deserve. So
the use of the word hazing was a buzzword set to blow it up. With it, just UNC players fight is nothing. Altercation's nothing. The word hazing was a purposeful buzzword put there by somebody. Now, maybe someone called Pat Forty, maybe whoever, and said there was a hazing incident, and he went with it. And then hazing got cut to prank, and, you know, there's a battle of semantics among the spinmeisters on all this.
Absolutely.
Hazing is whatever. But once the word hazing went across ESPN, everything changed.
Probably an ambulance just went by here. It's headed down to the other show where Deems May has been muzzled to the ground for not being able to talk about this. And he's been taken away. He's been taken away because he can't talk about this. So this is the only place that they're talking about it.
But oh, boy.
Let me ask you. Then Ryan Bodley, Cole Boyer comes on Twitter, and he talks about, this isn't even 25% of the assault on my brother, which means that he's saying that there are at least 16 people involved. Now,
10 or 12 or so, and whatever, but a gang invades this room at the aloft.
So is that at that point, that's definitely a torpedo pointed at UNC and UNC football to get some reaction. Now, you know, since we're now at this old show, Ron, we're kind of in the Twitter sphere here, so anything that says here is really, we're passing on speculation that we've heard, that we've seen on Twitter.
Hey, everybody tomorrow will be saying, did you hear what Art Chansky said?
Or but all kinds of reports have come out about, you know, things that have happened. Larry Fedora gave 3 walk-on scholarships. Reportedly, Jackson Boyer was not happy that he didn't get one of the scholarships. He was a redshirt freshman last year. He was a track star at East Chapel Hill. He was a lacrosse star, more so in track and lacrosse than he was football. Mm-hmm. But he wanted to play Division I football, and he wanted one of those scholarships. So Fedora, I was told, called him into the room and his office and said, hey, the 3 guys we gave these scholarships to, are you better than any of those 3? Do you deserve it more than those 3? And he said no. He said, well, I only had 3, Jackson. I mean, what am I supposed to do? So the other thing is, this is a report, and it's in Twitter about, the family may have wanted something from Carolina for this. So that justifies the fact that nothing has been said on his side of it, except that brother comes out and starts making all these inflammatory remarks after apparently all those other moves have failed.
And I think that's interesting, because one of the tweets that that we've been looking at here is one in which Cole Boyer says, and I quote, I have been cleared to say, end quote, right?
Yeah.
That is the quote that to me is most interesting, right? Because who is he cleared by to say this? His family?
Right. Maybe his brother.
Or his brother, right? Yeah. Exactly. So
good or point, a lawyer, really good or an attorney.
And, you know, I would suggest that if I was an attorney, and I'm not, so bear with me on the legal knowledge that I do not have here, but if I'm an attorney for the Boyer family, I'm telling Cole to be quiet.
Yeah.
Because what he is doing is undermining any sort of action, anything that they might want to get out of the situation has been undermined by those tweets.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Cole is wrong. From every account I have heard, it is not at least entirely correct. And I worry that he's doing more harm to both his family and the University of North Carolina than he could ever achieve out of it at the end of the day. So
right, now, the rule I apply on any of these things, one, I think this situation is very much like the P.J. Harrison. It has nothing to do with Julius Mangaro. All the Marvin tweet, that whole four-year festering dumpster fire, these two instances, P.J. and this one, have nothing to do with them, except they do, because they're happening here in this whole situation of great unrest where the camel's back really can't handle a toothpick anymore.
Right.
And so when these things happen, my other rule I apply is, If this happened at NC State, would you be looking at it in the same give them a benefit of the doubt? Bray, did you care? And I'm talking rhetorically. The Oklahoma running back that broke the girl's face with a punch in the bar or the gourmet coffee shop. How did you immediately view that? As well, that guy's a thug. He ought to be put in prison. How do you know the girl didn't bring it on, like Stephen A. Smith says?
Well, how about the NC State running back who's multiple times accused of assaulting his girlfriend?
Right.
And how is the NNO, which I think we all have seen reports of how they handled UNC coverage, has been much speculated upon, right, and questioned. How are they handling this different than they handle other teams' news? I would suggest it's very different.
Look, that looks like Bobby Bowden. Doesn't that guy look like Bobby Bowden?
He really does.
The guy with the mustache and beard?
Now, I'll just say one thing, and this is the only thing I want to say in this whole situation.
And you better get out of this conversation.
Yeah, I'm not in this conversation, but I'll just say that I hate the fact, the first thing I heard about this, I thought, oh, no. Here we are. We're finally getting ready to play football. Everybody's excited about the beginning of the season, and now this comes along, and now this is all anybody's going to be talking about before Carolina and Liberty even kick it off.
Yep.
So I think that's the real shame of the whole thing. There, it certainly has taken away the headlines.
And I'll agree with you, Ron. Before I sign off and hand it back over to Art. This is the first time since 2010 that North Carolina has been ranked in the top 25 preseason.
Yeah.
There's a lot of momentum going on behind this program. It seems as if there's constantly someone trying to undermine that, and that's a real shame.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Ryan. I appreciate you coming over. Go ahead and have a great time at the game, and reach those Tar Heels onto a big victory. And Bob Lee, in our moral contract. In our moral contract that we signed to do this show, we said we would not avoid anything, any issue. We'd not avoid any of your ex-wives or anything like that.
I don't know that I even could.
Yeah, all right.
I didn't know you guys had a moral contract.
I don't have a muzzle. Dean May has a muzzle. I have no muzzle.
This is a good sports with Art C. and Bob Lee. I'm Ron Stutz. Anthony Wellman is here. The whole WCHL community crew is here right in front of University United Methodist Church. This is our exclusive pregame coverage on WCHL, and we'll be back right after this.
This is Kit Ballew of Franklin Street Realty.
And I'm Sammy Martin. Kit, years ago you said it would be a good idea to end these spots with, "Why would you call anyone else?" I thought at some point we should answer that question, but we never have.
Sammy, we answer that question every time we go on the radio. Why don't we spell it out in our fall repartee instead of bludgeoning people with football analogies?
I'm for that. At Franklin Street Realty, we put a great team on the field every day working for you.
Okay, enough. Let's talk about the real stuff like buyer agency. It's the fiduciary relationship that is possibly more important to us than it is to you. Our job is to help you identify the difference between a house for sale and a real opportunity, and to manage the details once the choice has been made.
Folks, everyone at Franklin Street gets this and is totally committed to it. And that's one of the answers to the question. Franklin Street Realty, why would you call anyone else?
Find us on the web at franklinstreetrealty.com or on the phone at 929-7174.
Carolina MediSpa is proud to offer the newest technology in laser tattoo removal. It is estimated that close to 10% of the U.S. population has an unwanted tattoo, and eventually as many as 50% of them want to have them removed. There is good news for those who have unwanted body art. New laser tattoo removal techniques can eliminate your tattoo with minimal side effects, and now in as little as 6 treatments. Call Carolina MediSpa at 919-493-3194 to schedule a free consultation.
Will you be our neighbor? If you or someone you know is moving or building a home in Chapel Hill, Harrington Bank is your first stop in financing your new dream home. Harrington Bank offers competitive rates and products for construction loans, renovation loans, home equity loans, and refinancing options. Let's be neighbors and give us a call today. Harrington Bank is conveniently located at Southern Village, Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard, and the intersection of Highway 54 and 40. Harrington Bank, you deserve banking like this.
This is the Good Sports with Art Singh and Bob Lee. I'm Ron Stutz, and this is our exclusive pregame coverage on WCHL from the front lawn of University United Methodist Church in downtown Chapel Hill. Looking out onto Franklin Street, it is a beautiful Carolina blue day. Carolina gets set to take on Liberty tonight at 6 in Keenan Stadium. Here's Bob Lee.
Where's the lady with the free donut holes? I thought that was...
They came from across the street,
Krispy Kreme. Yeah, the Krispy Kreme people.
Earlier.
All right, we're talking about some football, and one of the greatest... truly brilliant things that I've said, Art, and you've got a few of your own, is that the team is only as strong as its third-string offensive line. And I think that comes into play now. Larry Fedora's had 3 years to recruit, and he's getting a lot of good players. See, hopefully he's getting some great players, but he's getting a lot of good players. And you look at any team in America, from the Ohio States and Alabamas and used to be South Carolina, but not anymore, but whatever else team, they don't, by the time they get to mid-October, they have at least two of their starting offensive linemen have been blown up, and their knees have been blown out. And they got, so you've got to have depth in the line. I think we've got more of that this year. I think, really, it's not so many how many great players you have. We have Ryan Switzer, and he's our star player now, but it's not the great players. It's how many good players you have. And I like to think that Larry and his staff have assembled enough good players that when they start carrying them off, as they will, it's the nature of the game, that the replacements he can put in are going to be stronger than they were over the last few years.
Well, you know, Bob Lee, I've watched Carolina football for many years, as you have too, and they've always had great players. There's no question about it. The problem is they've never had enough of them. And you talk about the depth that happens when they get hurt. You talk about guys who have to support great running backs, guys who have to block for great quarterbacks and so forth. And then defense, you know, periodically has been a problem here. You know, the question is, we have outstanding skilled players. You know, the running backs that you talked about in the first hour on, and obviously Ryan Switzer, and, you know, pretty good defensive backfield, wide receiver core. But the offensive defensive line are thin, and so if there's injuries at those positions, then you jeopardize protecting your quarterback and your running backs, and you don't want your safeties and linebackers to make all the tackles, because then you're giving up lots of yardage. So here's what I say about that. You know, people talk about the three-year probation and the losing five scholarships a year for 3 years. That is really a five-year penalty when you think about it, because you're losing recruits for 3 years. But then you have to start now. You can go back to your 25 signees, but it takes, nobody comes in, especially in the offensive and defensive and interior lines, and plays right away. So it takes a couple of years for those guys that you just signed right now. And then, as you said many times, Bob, you don't know how the classes of 20, each the last 3 years, were affected by that probation, whether kids didn't come here because they're on probation or whatever. But now, you sign 25 again, it'll, for some of those, if not most of them, it'll take those guys a year or two to get on the field. So it's really a 4 or 5 year penalty.
I remember when we talked over the last couple of years about the Fedora era, and he came in living with 3 years of substandard recruiting because of all the situation with Butch leaving and Everett Withers and all that. So at least two, arguably 3 years, where they were really recruiting whatever they could come up with. And they found some good players, obviously, but not the level of recruiting that he got once he got his program going in the last year or so. And now we're starting to see a little bit of that. And I think we're a better team overall than we've been in the other 3 years. And you still want the break. You still want the ball to bounce your way. And, you know, it's a couple of referee calls here and there and whatnot. But I'm positive about it. I'm not sure we're the 23rd or 24th best team in the country yet. But
hard to tell before the season even starts, you know.
Well, again, we go back to South Carolina Thursday night.
Yeah, a really good indication is Ron, I think you had Kevin Best and both Jones Angel on this week.
Yeah.
And independent of each other is interesting. They both said Roman Morris, he was the surprise guy and so forth. But they both said, especially Kevin said, that in all the years he's been involved with Carolina football, this is the healthiest training camp that he can ever remember, the most injury-free training camp. And that itself is the one huge key. You know, any football team, college or pro, if they get unlucky and they start suffering a rash of injuries, well, it's going to hurt their team down the stretch. And if Carolina can maintain their healthy status from training camp right into these first two games and onto the season, that's going to help, you know, the depth problem that they have.
Well, the injuries are inevitable. There's no question about that. But if you can get lucky and have fewer injuries to key players than some of the other programs do, then you've got a huge advantage there. So.
Yeah, and we really, I mean, first-line players, we have guys, they... Landon Turner and John Heck on the front line. I mean, these are big, tough guys, but they have to play most of the season because the backups, you know, they may not be ready, but you don't want to depend on that. So you get them in the game to get snaps, to get training, you know, behind the starters. But you know, if you get a rash of injuries like that, then if you don't have the depth of a SEC team, you know, then it's going to hurt you. All right.
Well, let me just say that we are blessed to have all those very, very talented guys in the backfield. They are all so talented, and you know, usually those guys, somebody will go down at some point. So we got some really good talent there. So at the skill positions, as they call it.
Well, you know.
Football's become a game of attrition.
Yeah.
Are you going to lose more players than I lose? And
yeah, and. And the other thing is the way Fedora plays offense, blocking inside is not as important as 3 yards in the cloud of dust. Now, he's going to spread the field, and he's going to get the ball to Elijah Hood or Chris Francis or Roma or T.J. Logan and Ryan Switzer and trying to make something happen. But for Carolina, it goes back to the key. You know, they gave up an ungodly number of points last year and the year before to East Carolina and Georgia Tech. So we can't. We got to be better on defense this year. We can't rely on outscoring everybody.
Smart, fast, and physical. It is Larry Fedora's high-powered, fast-break offense coming up tonight, 6 o'clock against Liberty in Keenan Stadium. It is Carolina and the Flames opening season game, and we're all excited. We're broadcasting live from the front of University United Methodist Church. That's the one with a great big steeple that is under renovation right now, and we hope you will come by and say hello if you're down on Franklin Street. If not, we'll see you in the stadium for the game. Carolina and Liberty coming up. This is The Good Sports with Art C. and Bob Lee. I'm Rod Stutz. There's more on the way.
I'm Edward Holmes, president of Cruisers Convenience Marketplace. People often ask me about the price of gasoline and what they can do to save at the pump. Right now, you can save 6 cents per gallon when you sign up for an ExxonMobil Rewards Smart Card at Cruisers. When you use the card, we save on credit card fees and pass the savings along to you. Think of the savings each time you fill up and beyond. Stop by any of our 24 convenient area locations and we'll sign you up.
Only at Cruisers. Good to go.
The Saturday Morning Sports Clinic at UNC Family Medicine is open and ready to treat your acute injuries. You'll be cared for by the same physicians and staff that work with UNC and the Chapel Hill Carrboro High School teams. UNC Family Medicine treats everything from casting to ultrasounds to x-rays, as well as provides surgical consults and concussion evaluations. The Saturday Morning Sports Clinic at UNC Family Medicine. Find out more at uncfamilymedicine.org. Just another way that UNC Family Medicine is caring for the course of your life.
It was fun being Michelangelo, but I didn't have a Geico car insurance. You might not believe that a guy who did the Sistine Chapel and some great sculptures would feel unfulfilled, but I never had a Geico, a company that's been churning out savings since 1936. That's over 75 years. Mamma mia! Did I just say that? So take it from a pro, Michelangelo, and switch it to Geico. That rhymed!
Geico, saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years.
I'm David Fitch of Fitch Lumber and Hardware. Just like on the playing field, teamwork is what you need to tackle any home project. Stop by and team up with Fitch Lumber and Hardware to score big on your upcoming goals. We can help. Get the local home field advantage at Fitch Lumber and Hardware, 309 North Greensboro Street in Carrboro, or call us at 919-942-3153. As always, thanks for your business.
Our business when you saw Dave Fitch just a little while ago, right here in our broadcast location. We're downtown Chapel Hill today, and it's a beautiful Carolina Blue Day. Carolina and Liberty coming up 6 o'clock in Keenan Stadium. This is the Good Sports with Art C. and Bob Lee, and right now, back to Art Chansky.
Hey, Ron, back here at the Good Sports on Franklin Street, where we have a great vantage point of what's going on, of the excitement building. We still have some dice to roll. If anybody wants to come by, roll a 7, a 9, or a 7. They win a free WCHL party pack from Kristen Tucker, who's here.
Paying anything to roll the dice just one more time.
Yeah, yeah.
Quick, okay, start talking.
All right, bud. So, Bob, you know, you mentioned the ACC. There's apparently no comparison between the Atlantic Division and the Coastal Division because all the weight is in the Atlantic with Clemson and Florida State.
And NC State.
And NC, of course. Can I tell you about what they did in Georgia? And Louisville, of course. But apparently there's plenty of comparison between the Coastal Division teams where they say, and I say they, the proverbial they, anybody but Virginia can win that league.
And they played very good today against a highly ranked UCLA team.
They did.
I think they lost by a touchdown or so, but it was a very competitive game up at Charlottesville.
They got a horrible start.
Well, let's put them
turning the ball over.
Let's put them in the mix with everybody else and say that every member of the Coastal Division can win it. All seven teams. So, you know, the idea is Tar Heels, we talked about before, were picked 23rd in the preseason polls, yet they were picked 4th in the Coastal. And none of the teams that were picked ahead of them in the Coastal were in the top 23. Now, how does that jive with what does it? The ACC writers know something that we don't, or they don't know anything at all. So let me get this again. Carolina's picked 4th in the Coastal, but 23rd in the polls, and none of the teams, Miami, Duke, and Virginia Tech, the three teams picked ahead of them in a Coastal, weren't in the preseason poll. So who knows what and who doesn't know anything?
I think it obviously leads to the fact that there is a conspiracy in the national media for Carolina.
Yeah.
I hear that in Raleigh a lot, and I hear that in Durham. There's this media conspiracy where the UNCJ school has everybody at ESPN as the UNCJ school. So that explained it. John Skipper controls that poll.
Yeah, exactly.
And then we really gotten treated well.
And News Observer loves us, too, of course.
All right, so the three Daves. We got Dave Doran, who had a big win over Georgia Southern today.
Yeah.
1:30 left in the game. Then we got Dave Clawson over NC State. We got Dave Cutcliffe tonight kicking it off against the Elon.
I think every coach in the Big Four is named Larry except for those three, right?
Phoenix.
Oh, the Phoenix. What happened to the Fighting Christians?
Yeah, I think they used to be Fighting Christians, and they changed it.
Well, right here in front of the University of United Methodist Church, I'm going to say they're still the Fighting Christians.
Who?
Probably. Okay.
Yeah. Who?
Elon.
But Elon, yeah.
So they have the three coaches. Of course, one guy who's not new, who may be new to the ACC but is not new to his job, is Bobby Motorcycle Michael Petrino.
Yeah.
Back at Louisville for a second stint.
Hold your nose. I don't like that at all.
After his road spin with his blonde babe at Arkansas. Is that guy still married, Bob?
I think he is. I think she went with him to Western Kentucky in exile for a year, and now she's come back to Yumtown.
Well, we know one thing. He has a tolerant spouse.
wonder if they go to that same Italian restaurant that Rick Pitino goes to late at night.
Oh, shut up, will you? Come on. Let's get on with the Liberty Flames, coached by Turner Gill. Where did Turner Gill coach before Liberty? Where did he coach?
KU. KU. Same place Roy Williams coached before he came here.
That's right. And what happened to him at KU?
I think he won one game in 2 years, and then he got squashed by Big Charlie Weiss.
Yeah, and before that, he took over for Mark Mangino. Imagine getting squished between Mark Mangino and Charlie Weiss.
Whoa! Oh,
goodness.
There was no food. There was no pork chops left on the table.
And where was he before that? He was
Buffalo. And he was the kind of everybody's choice when he was at Buffalo. He was the hot choice, the next super coach, because he did so well at, of course, he was a star at Nebraska for Tom Osborne.
Absolutely.
And then he went to Buffalo with his first head job, and he was everybody's choice. He was he was kind of like the Charlie Strong. Just had all the stuff going for him, and he went to KU and just bombed. And now, for reasons that I don't really know, but maybe he wanted that environment of Liberty where there's not as much pressure and he can deal with a different level of kid and recruiting and whatnot, and there's not the pressure, and he just likes to coach football.
Yeah, well, why did he, if he did so well at Buffalo, why did he go to Kansas? I mean, couldn't he get a better job in Kansas? They haven't been good in football.
Well, you know, they were very strong with Mancino until it fell apart because he was beating them up or something.
Actually,
or
they went
he
to
was
the
beating the training table.
He probably was ready to go anywhere to get out of the cold.
When Mangino was there, they even played in the Orange Bowl one year. Yeah. So they were there was a period there when Mangino got that program going where they were outstanding. And then he left and his recruits left or got flunked out or went to prison or where Leavenworth is right down the street. And they fell apart. And now Charlie Weiss hadn't won a game, I think, in 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, and Charlie is the kind of guy who says, "Are you kidding me? Have you looked out there? Have you seen who's on the field for us?" That's a
rock chalk Charlie Weiss.
That's a real players coach right there. Hey, but I've listened to Turner Gill, and he's very, very, he seems like he's perfect for Liberty because he's...
Who was the first defensive coordinator he hired on his Liberty staff?
Carl Torbush.
Carl Torbush, yeah, who is now at East Tennessee getting their program geared up.
As the head coach.
Stutz, did you know that?
I did not.
That's why you listen to WCHL.
Yeah, I guess it is.
All right, the Liberty Flames. Let's give you the 10 things that people might not know about the Liberty Flames. What do you think?
Their founder, the famous Jerry Falwell, actually died in 2007. The president of the university is now his son, Jerry Falwell Jr.
Jerry Jr. Okay.
Okay.
All right, how about this? When Jerry Falwell was there, he did not allow dancing by his students on campus.
But they do have a Chick-fil-A on campus, and it is closed on Sunday.
Yeah, okay.
Did they allow dancing in the end zone after a touchdown?
No, absolutely.
Okay.
Do you know that they have a synthetic ski slope on their campus?
A synthetic ski slope on their campus?
They do.
We're going downhill
now. Do they allow skiing? I hope so.
Yeah, as long as you don't twerk.
Okay, how about they have, you might have said this in your teaser in the first, but they have 90,000 online students, one of the largest internet student bodies in the world.
Mm-hmm.
They're the largest evangelical Christian university in the world.
If you count the 90,000.
Yeah, if you count.
When one of Falwell's goals was that they would rise to the level among Christian universities or religious universities of BYU. That was, he wanted them to sort of be the, I mean, of course that's Mormon, but in terms of a bigger than Oral Roberts and some of the others. That was his goal, and they're still going. They've got good facilities, and they're kind of dedicated to having top class facilities. I think they're in the Sun Belt now, but they want to move to one of the others.
Conference USA or Big Ten. Okay, go on, next one.
Their mascot.
Ah,
Sparky the Eagle.
Sparky.
Why is
Sparky
an eagle?
Sparky because of the flames. Mm-hmm. Eagle because, I don't know, the little pretty little co-ed said it was an eagle. I don't know.
Flying high,
yeah, eagle.
Nice hair.
The University of Liberty's University Code of Conduct is called what?
The Liberty Way.
The Liberty Way.
Heard what you said earlier in the week.
Oh, my. Don't they ever learn?
It lasts longer than the Carolina Way last year.
Would you be surprised to know that all of the student housing facilities at Liberty are single gender?
Really?
Would that surprise you?
Single gender?
None of the other four or five genders. The only single gender at Liberty.
I'm not sure what that means. All right, I got one here for you.
In other words, no co-ed dorms.
Correct.
No.
Okay.
Explain the word gender to him.
Why didn't you just say that, Bob?
That's not surprising.
Okay, have we ever played Liberty in anything before tonight?
Baseball.
Baseball? Okay.
We're playing basketball, haven't we?
Yeah, you're right. 1994, we played him in the 1994 NCAA tournament at Landover, Maryland, and we beat him.
Yeah.
But no one remembers that because 2 days later we lost to BC and Donnie Abrams, who stole our chance to go back-to-back as Mike Krzyzewski.
I think the final score of that game was 71-51, something like that.
Yeah.
Here's one for you guys. Liberty is annually ranked in the top 10 most conservative colleges in America. UNC is annually not.
There's a shock.
I'm just telling you what Wikipedia says, guys. I don't make this stuff up.
All right, look, I run out of them. Go ahead. Give me the rest of your list.
Okay, Liberty alumni. Can you name some famous Liberty alumni?
I really can't.
All right. One, most famous play in the history of the Atlanta Braves. Single play. Francisco Cabrera. But name the other player in that famous play in Fulton County Stadium.
Dale Murphy.
Sid Bream.
Oh, Sid Bream.
Scored. Sid Bream not only went to Liberty.
Sid is safe.
Barry Bonds.
Braves win.
Okay. Sid Bream went there, and his brother married another girl by the name of, Shannon Bream, who was a Fox News girl. She's a Fox News girl. And not only the other pretty girl, have you ever heard of Samantha Steele Ponder?
Oh, Sam
Ponder. ESPN sideline
girl. She went to Liberty?
She went to Liberty. And then she went. And then she met Christian Ponder and became Samantha Steele Ponder.
She met him. She met Christian at a dance at Liberty, right?
Ah. There you go. That's not the most famous alumni, possibly from NC, from Liberty, Frau Yao.
Get
the Frauser herself, Debbie Yao, was a graduate of Liberty University.
Get the steeple out of here. Are you kidding me?
Hey,
Frau Yao went to Liberty.
Frau graduated from Liberty. She was a flamette.
Yeah. Okay. Any more?
I didn't know that.
Out of your list?
I'm pretty much out of my list with that one. Yeah. It was founded as Lynchburg Bible College, and then Jerry changed it. They had the ski slope. We mentioned the 10 most conservative colleges in America. Tuition at Liberty is approximately $30,000 a year with room and board.
Mm-hmm.
The Liberty way. Oh, jeez. People learn. Oh, big one now. This is what I got to do.
Oh, okay.
Today, the Liberty Flame number 81, his name is Garrett Long.
Yeah.
Does that name ring a bell to Carolina sports fans?
The grandson of
Albert Long. If number 81 in a Liberty jersey goes on the field 6 years ago, Ron, his grandfather, Albert Long, played on that very same field.
Did he wear 81?
He had no face mask. I don't know. No, he would have been a jump pass throwing quarterback in the leather helmet days.
How many letters did Albert Long win?
Not one. Not two. Not three. Four.
For Albert Long of Durham was a four-letter man at Carolina.
The only one.
And his grandson, now
Garrett Long, plays tight end for the Liberty Flames. Wow. Is that ever cool or not?
And
okay, Albert, you owe me $10. Cool. I mentioned it.
Cool tidbit. Yeah. Well, hey, now that we have all the trivia out of the way and all of the Wikipedia stuff and everything out of Bob Lee's head.
No, you don't. I have a rant.
We're going to continue with the show. We're going to have the rant coming up next. And then more of the good sports with Art C. and Bob Lee. I'm Ron Stutz, downtown Chapel Hill at University United Methodist Church on Franklin Street. Come on by and see us as you get ready for Carolina and Liberty. We'll be back right after this.
Are you a weekend warrior? Along with the fun of being active comes the risk of injury. This is Dr. Harry Stafford, Director of the Primary Care Sports Medicine Fellowship here at UNC, as well as a UNC team physician. And for those times when your knee gets injured, your Achilles is hurt, your back goes out, or if you've got a shoulder injury, UNC Family Medicine is a great choice for fast and easy treatments, including cutting-edge platelet-rich plasma injections and much more. I invite you to find out more on our website, uncfamilymedicine.org. UNC Family Medicine, here for all weekend warriors.
When you save money and join the 97% of people who are satisfied with Geico, it's hard not to give yourself a big thumbs up. But why do we humans use the thumb to express approval? Here, I extend my stubbiest of digits in your honor. Some human behaviors don't make sense. And some do, like switching your car insurance to Geico, which people have been doing for over 75 years. And that's worthy of a big thumbs up. Perhaps two.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
This is Dr. Beth Goldstein with Central Dermatology Center. Rosacea is a common but misunderstood skin condition of flushing, blushing, and breakouts. If left untreated, the symptoms can worsen, and with time, people with rosacea may see a permanent redness in their face. If you've noticed signs of rosacea and are looking for help, request an appointment online with Central Dermatology Center at centralderm.net or call us at 919-401-1994. We accept most major insurances, including Medicare and TRICARE.
There's no such thing as a free lunch. We've all heard this before, but how does it relate to your bank? Harrington Bank is one of the only banks in the Triangle who truly provides free checking. Our competitors say free, but they require you to maintain a hefty balance or limit your transactions. When Harrington Bank says free, we mean free. Free personal checking, free business checking, no lengthy requirements. Stop by one of our three convenient locations in Chapel Hill to learn more. Harrington Bank, you deserve banking like this.
Back now to the good sports with Art C. and Bob Lee. I'm Rod Stutz, broadcasting live from downtown Franklin Street. And you can't go to Franklin Street without seeing Spanky's, a Chapel Hill institution since 1977. Famous for great hamburgers, brown sugar, baby back ribs, garden fresh salads, and North Carolina barbecue cooked on site at Spanky's at the corner of Franklin and Columbia in downtown Chapel Hill. Now, as we continue with the show, here is Bob Lee with a 60-second sound off.
Thank you. prior to 1979, you got your sports news from guys like Don Shea on TV or my buddy Chansky in a newspaper. If you lived in New York, maybe you heard Howard Cosell. That was it. A 10-minute sports report at 6 o'clock or a page in your local paper. Yet you knew all you needed to know about Mickey Mantle, Bob Cousy, and Y.A. Tittle. In September 79, a business with a strange alphabet named opened in a one-stoplight town in Connecticut. Sports headed to hell in a handbasket labeled ESPN. One ESPN was enough. Two was too many. The current five or six are toxic. Now there are ESPN wannabes out the wazoo. Every conference wants its own network. I get 200 channels on my U-verse. 175 of them mention Johnny Manziel every 10 minutes. The SEC channel is running the Real Housewives of Tuscaloosa. Discovery Channel claims Stephen A. Smith is a space alien. I don't know about Stephen A., but I'm pretty sure that Paul Feinbaum is a space alien. That guy is very strange. 30 minutes of Mike and Mike in the morning is all the sports news I need. That Balbiz is a cutie pie. Greeny and Golick would be nice guys to have in your cul-de-sac. Skip Bayless, probably not. More than 30 minutes of ESPN per day and you're cutting off oxygen to your brain. Their recruiting shows are glorified kiddie porn. Recruiting addicts are the glue sniffers of the new millennium. After you die, your family is going to erase your computer and will discover you were obsessed with semi-literate 17-year-old boys with no necks or a high vertical jump. If you're lucky, they won't find your cheerleader file.
That is the 60-second sound-off, ladies and gentlemen.
It's a good thing that you're not in the media. That's all I can say.
Bob Lee, everybody, and Johnny Manziel.
That's a new segment we've added in this week's show.
Thank you for bringing up Johnny Manziel. I hadn't heard his name in the last 15 minutes.
There you go.
So, Art Chansky, what do you think?
Well,
you don't know what to say, do you?
Anything that I would say from this point on would be redundant.
Earlier this week, before something happened at some place called the Aloft, they had the Aloft, yes. There was an Ultimate NFL 2014 headline. Michael Sam sacks Johnny Manziel. Mm-hmm. If they could have just put the word Redskins in there somewhere, it would have covered the entire NFL.
Oh, God. Oh, goodness. Am I expected to do that every other week?
No. Okay. I think it's just all him.
Well, look, I'll tell you what. Do me a favor. When it's my turn, just get Lou Margolis in here to do it.
He already did today.
I know. I heard it.
Everybody heard that one.
Take Lou to lunch and tell him he's got no clue. But other than that. All right. What are we doing now?
Well, where are they now?
Yeah.
Yeah, where are they now?
We're starting another step. We're like sharks. We're always doing things new here, always moving forward.
All right, you take Jason Stanisak. Where is he now?
We're doing where are they now? We've got three players, former Tar Heels, to bring you up to date on where they are. Jason Stanisak, the ultimate option quarterback of, what, the late 70s, early 80s?
Oh, 90s.
He now 90s. Lives 90s. In 90s? No.
90s.
Anyway,
yeah.
Played his
Mac Brown.
Turning the corner and keep it or pass it off. Jason Stanisak, there was never any better. He now lives in Wake County in Wake Forest, not to be confused with the University of, but Jason Stanisak lives in Wake Forest, North Carolina, and he is a financial wealth management executive with Cap Trust, which I think handles Jeff Saturday's investments for me. They did it one time in Webb Simpson. But Cap Trust over at North Hills in Raleigh, and
he was a good quarterback.
Jason is a partner with Cap Trust and doing very, very well. He's very active in the Alumni Association over here.
Mm-hmm. Do you
what
know,
about Harris Barton?
No, wait a minute. I want to throw in one of them. Do you know the distinction that Jason Stanisak has? Jason Stanisak, you know, when Matt Brown first came here, we were quarterback light. You know, we had a couple of guys named Burnett, Chucky and Todd, who couldn't play at all. Jason Stanisak was a freshman who's being redshirted, and we were so bad his redshirt freshman year that they pulled the redshirt off of Jason in the middle of the year, and he played the rest of the year as a starter, and we were good from that point on.
I remember that.
His other 3 years and the rest of it. So that was how desperate we were. And I got a little side note. This is like a news brief. You know that Mac Brown is the retired Texas coach. He's on TV today with ABC. He looked great. And
who's the other guy with him?
I don't know. I didn't see it. But
Butch Davis.
Oh, no. He's not with him. He's on the other station. They wouldn't be on the same set together, believe me. So, look, let me tell you. He's married to Sally.
Yes.
You know, they've had tremendous connections in North Carolina.
Who introduced them?
I did. But they have a beautiful home in the mountains of North Carolina, and two weeks ago it burned to the ground.
Oh, no.
Yeah. their home in
Linville Ridge.
In Linville. We're right where the great late Hugh Morton lived.
That whole time, Art was just angling to have you mention the fact that he had introduced them.
I know. I saw the high sign.
I didn't do that. I didn't angle anything.
But you introduced them.
Art, so where's Harris Barton? Where's Harris Barton?
Harris Barton is a millionaire venture capitalist in Palo Alto, California. You realize that? He recently opened his own firm after working and building three other firms. He has a wife, four kids. He's involved in all kinds of charitable endeavors, including First Tee and lots of other things. Two-time All-Pro with the Niners, played in three Super Bowls, winning two of them, and perhaps most importantly, he has already been inducted in the Jewish Sports.
National Jewish Sports Hall of Fame, along with Sandy Koufax and you, I think.
No, I'm waiting. I've been waiting.
Harris Barton blocked for Joe Montana and would have been in the game on the catch.
All right. He did. Okay. Now, T.J. Yates, where is he?
Does everybody know where T.J. Yates is? Stutch, do you know where he is? If you say Houston, you're wrong.
Anthony Wellman mentioned it earlier today. It is
Atlanta Falcons. And he looks like he's going to make it as a backup quarterback to Matty Ice.
Mm-hmm. Matty Ice.
Which is neat because he's come back home because T.J. Yates played in Marietta High School.
Cool.
Good luck to TJ. Yeah,
I'm glad to see TJ hanging on in there.
He's the greatest success story in the history of Carolina football.
Love him. What a kid. Came back from being ridiculed and whatnot
to complete.
He had a great Super season.
66% of his.
Now they got the 2-minute drill. Anthony's giving us the hurry up.
He never got the credit that he deserved. Okay, 2-minute drill, guys.
All right. How many punts will Ryan Switzer touch tonight?
Okay, I think he'll touch two in the first half. After which Liberty will either go for it in fourth down from wherever they are in the field, or they'll kick it so far out of bounds that the people in the first 10 rows are going to be in trouble.
Okay.
All right. Who will complete more passes tonight, Marquise or Mitch?
What do you say?
I say Marquise will. I think it's Marquise's job to lose. I swear. I just don't believe unless you get hurt, you don't lose your job.
No, I say it's Mitch because Mitch is the perfect. Liberty is the perfect foil game for Mitch Trubisky to play his first game. The guy can run. He can throw. Pretty sleek athlete. Marquise is bigger and stronger, but tonight Liberty is smaller.
Marquise is bigger than Mitch?
Oh, bigger and stronger.
I didn't know that. Yeah.
I predict that Marquise Williams will start.
Well, I do too, but we'll unveil number 10 tonight. That'll be
a, we'll see a lot of.
All right, 50 points over under.
Is that
total point? Total point
in the game?
Total point.
Well,
yeah.
I say it's not only over for the total game. I say it's over for Carolina.
Uh-huh.
I think they score more.
Stutz, what do you think?
I agree with that. I think the Tar Heels are going to light it up.
We hope so. We love offensive football here at Good Sports.
Well, you know, if Ron, Anthony, Bob Lee, pleasure being with you guys in the first week of the Good Sports in the show. I think we're ready for some football, and I think that if everything happened in the preseason, Carolina can marshal all of that into one really enthusiastic, combustible level tonight. We're going to see a
combustible, great combustible. I love
it. And focus on this game tonight, guys. Carolina and Liberty will kick it off a couple of minutes after 6 o'clock, and you will hear it all right here on WCHL. This is the Good Sports with Art C. and Bob Lee. Thank you to Art Chansky, Bob Lee, Anthony Wellman, Alex Curley back at the WCHL studios. And now we will join the Tar Heel Network on WCHL.